and welcome to St. James Westminster. We are so glad to have you joining us for our service today. Our service is led by myself, the assistant curate Hannah Scorer, and our rector Keith Nethery. Our musical team includes Paul Stevenson, Paul Grambo, LJ White, Katie Clark, Lauren McDonald, Victoria Piovison, and led by Steve Hollowitz. And we are also joined by our wonderful sound engineer, John Gardy, this morning. We'd like to remind you to check out our Sunday school videos on Facebook, and we invite you to take a moment to prepare your hearts and assume a prayerful position as we begin this service.
Strain of triumphant gladness, God hath ransomed Israel into joy from sadness, loosed from Pharaoh's bitter yoke, Jacob's sons and daughters, led them and fruit through the Red Sea waters. Now the Queen of Seasons bright, with a day of splendor, with a royal feast of feasts, comes its joy to
Almighty God, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. Mercifully give us faith to know that, as he promised, he abides with us on earth to the end of time, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. A reading from 1 Peter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place amongst you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary the devil prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave me I have given to them. And they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name so that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." The Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many times have you heard a Bible passage like the one that I read a few moments ago from the letter of Peter and said, "Man, that's just what's going on today. That's for me today." Well, yes, it is, and no, it isn't. There is some worry in just assuming that it's just for us or just for that particular point in time or just for me today, because all Scripture has a place where it originated. There was a time that Peter sat down and wrote those words. And he sat down and wrote them for a very specific reason. Then the Holy Spirit has guided the church over the ensuing 20 centuries to use those words and others as Scripture, to draw us closer to God, to draw us close to Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. But we must always first remember that every piece of Scripture had an original meaning. And if we don't look at that meaning, if we don't take it in that larger context, then I think that we turn our back on a possibility of what the Spirit can do. So Peter was writing to a group of people that we're suffering, that we're afraid, that we're in difficulty. Because in the early years after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, which we marked on Thursday of this past week, these people had decided to follow Jesus, and it was not popular. There was still divisions, there was still enmity, and there was still that crushing political factor of the Romans, who were not about to let anyone worship anything but Caesar. This is a brand new religion. We hear the story of Jesus' time on earth. We hear of the crowds and all those kinds of things, and we tend to think that immediately the church began with a nice, quaint little building on every corner. But the reality is that a lot of the people who went to hear and see Jesus probably were afraid and left. And that the original church growing out of Jerusalem was very small and took a lot of abuse from people of all different stripes. Plus the fact they were trying to figure out what it meant to be the church, what their structure was, what it was that they would hang their hat on. What was their theology? What were their rules? Did they have any? How did you live this life of following Jesus Christ? This is all brand new. And every time they did something, somebody else would be there to snicker and laugh at them. And the Romans would be there to tell them that they couldn't do that. And people would be telling them that they were deserters of the faith of their childhood. And so they were suffering. And there was a wide variety of interpretations and understandings, and immediately people, as people seemed to be wont to do, started to abuse this new faith and create new rules. Some people would be in and some people would be out, and you can see that in the church today, how we go through all these things. So that's what Peter was writing about. To a small group of people who were trying to be loyal in a world that was anything but loyal. So now we can take this and look at it in the sense of today, in the sense of COVID-19. And what was said in that passage of Peter, and I'll give you a little homework assignment here, that passage was not all one. It was two chunks, one chunk from one chapter from chapter 4 of 1 Peter, and then a chunk from chapter 5. So you might want to go back, and it's a short little letter, read the whole thing. Put it in a broader perspective. But certainly it moves us to think about suffering, because we are being denied some of the things that we've always had. We're being forced to sit in rooms and look at four walls all day. People are being told to stay home, not knowing if their jobs were safe and secure. People who own businesses have no idea whether they will still be here when this pandemic is over. anybody who has a loved one in long-term care is wondering about what will happen. People are hurting deeply because loved ones are sick and dying and they can't be with them. There is suffering. And this passage, I think, seems to speak straight to us that we will have to suffer, that we will have to go through this, and we will have to stay faithful to what we believe in Jesus Christ, and we will have to continue to follow along, and we will have to trust in our community and do all those things, and it will hurt, and it will be painful, and we will feel angry at times. But then there's the second part, where Peter says that Jesus and God will come along and it will get better and it will be a distant afterthought and we will get back to normal and we will feel loved again and we will be in community and all those good things will happen. And hang on to that understanding because God loves us, because God cares for us, because God wants us to be well and healthy and happy and whole and be in community, God will bring that about. But there's one real hiccup in here. In one of the sermon preparation sites that I visit every week, the person who was doing the commentary on 1 Peter brought up the conversation that I think is so important in all this. Suffering is not of God. God does not make us suffer. God did not decide, you know, there's people on that earth who are not doing well, they're not following the rules, so I'm going to send a pandemic, and they can all suffer for it. Now, you will find some preachers, pastors, ministers, that they want to play that card right off the bat, that we are doing all we are supposed to do, we are wonderful, and so we will have to suffer for those who God would punish. I don't buy that. Not for a second. Things happen. This is not the first pandemic that has ever happened. This is not the first viral outbreak that has killed thousands and thousands of people. It's the way of the world. It's the way of life. We will always have good days. We will always have bad days. Some people live to be 105. Some people barely get a chance to start. It's the way that things work. We don't have to like it, but it's the way that things work. The consistent, the constant in all of this that I think we have to find is that God loves us. The world is in process. The world goes round. We keep spinning crazily around the sun and rotating on our axis and all those kinds of things, and things happen, and there will be days that we will feel awful. Some of it is self-imposed. Maybe a lot of it is self-imposed. But the constant is that if we look for it, God's love is always there. Yes, suffering is part of the package, but God doesn't say, I'm going to do this. We can do it to ourselves. The way the world works, random chance, all those kinds of things can cause suffering. Our own inability to understand our life and our faith. But what I've come to understand is it doesn't matter where we are in that continuum. On our bleakest day, on our best day, on one of those okay days in the middle, God is always there. God calls us to be patient, to walk through difficulty, to know that we will grow from suffering, to know that suffering, and this always sounds strange and weird, but suffering is good for us. It will teach us. When we don't face challenges and problems and issues, we don't grow. If I look backwards through my 62 years on this planet, the times that I have grown the most have been the most difficult times. It is good for us. It is how we learn. It's how we change. It's how we grow. When things are wonderful, we just bounce along. So as the people surrounding Peter and Paul in the early Christian church suffered ridicule and abuse, and people changing the rules, and all kinds of difficult things, today we are given a pandemic. And it probably seems unfair. Some people don't seem to be scathed at all. I read an article this week that the 3 richest people in the world, their fortunes grew by several $1 billion over March, April, and May because their businesses were ones that picked up in the pandemic. That doesn't seem right, does it? People are losing their jobs and the richest of the rich get richer. It's not fair. It's not right. It's just reality. And money and wealth and fame and fortune is not the be-all and end-all. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more fully. God calls us to trust that no matter what, God is with us. God will journey with us. God will cause us to love, to grow, to be stronger. Doesn't always have to feel good, but God will be there. And that is our journey of faith, to follow God in the good times and in the downright miserable times, which we might describe as today. Amen.
Victorious in the
confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And I would invite you all into a position of prayer and ask that you fill in these prayers, populate them with the people that are on your hearts this morning. Let us all hold in the divine light of our Creator, each other, those who would be sitting in the pews next to us, our neighbors, our friends and family, our loved ones, those who we see every day and those who we see not so often. Let us hold up this morning all for whom we have a particular desire to pray for. Those who have asked us for their prayers, those that we know are in need. Let us hold this community of faith, St. James Westminster, our deanery, our diocese, the Anglican Church of Canada, and all communities of faith. Let us pray for our city of London, for our country and for our world, as we walk through this crisis together. Let us remember the sacredness of all creation, and let us be thankful that the world is finding ways to heal during this time. Be thankful for the animals that are coming back and the waters that are replenishing and the ways in which our earth is finding health and wellness. We hold before you, Creator God, all those challenges that confront us right now. Fear, loneliness, stress, anger, frustration. We pray for those who are in need, those who are most vulnerable at this time, those who are sick, and those who are dying. Creator God, we ask your blessings on victims of violence and oppression, people who are suffering at this time, that they may know compassion and peace. Creator God, we thank you always for the abundance of blessings that you have given us and the ways that we are finding to be happy in a dark and uncertain time. In the power of the Spirit, we offer these prayers in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other. Thanks be to God. Amen.